Each one of us understands something about our life, and frankly, we understand more than we think we do. I'm going to begin a series this morning, and it's focusing on history makers. History makers. But on this series, I wanted to bring out that history makers became history makers for God when they learn the lessons of faith. Now, folks, we have to learn to live by faith. And when we focus faith in our life, we understand the story of our life. The story of each life, you will find there are messes after messes after messes. If you were to start thinking back on your life, as far as you can remember, you will remember messes that have been there. And then you will look at your life today and you'll say, you know, there's still some messes going on. Well, God's greatest of creation perhaps are the messiest of all his creation. Simply saying, there's not an animal that exists that does not know that God exists. Even nature itself displays to us the power of who God is. Even down to the depth of the hardest core criminal that I ever dealt with, I knew that there was a spark possible down there if that hardcore individual would allow the presence of Jesus Christ. But the presence of Jesus Christ living through us, folks, will not ever come about without faith. For when the Lord comes back, will he find faith on earth? Are we continuing to understand life based on the knowledge of man? Or do we seek to understand life through the heart of God, through the promise of God? As I go through this series, I want you to pay close attention to yourself. This is one of those series where you don't need to be pointing at somebody else and saying, yeah, I told them they ought to act that way. This is a focus for each one of us to understand that we are history makers. Well, Brother Larry, nobody ever has heard of me. Well, nobody has hardly ever heard of Larry Vance either. Think of it. Well, then how can I be a history maker? Are you really quite sure that your child won't grow up to become leader of nation? Are you so sure that your child won't grow up to be the next, but more in-depth, Billy Graham? Are you so sure that in your genealogy, that there's not going to be somebody there that saw Jesus through you and you were their history teacher? You were the one that they were looking at when you thought, nobody's looking at me. Somebody's always looking at you. I try to tell teenagers, listen, you are a model for those young children coming up. What are you going to model? You're going to represent the life that they're seeing out here in the world? Or are you going to represent the good life of Jesus Christ? What kind of history? And how are you going to be remembered in that history that you display? I want us to look this morning at some tests. So I'm going to be going through these tests. And I want you to focus on the history makers that certainly you and I know. Noah, Abraham, and Moses. I'm going to just deal with these three this morning. But through the whole series, I'm going to be using those that we understand are historical personalities that's made a difference on our life as Christians. Do you ever wonder why God gave us the Bible? Well, each one of us can look in our heart, and when the question is asked, each one of us will more than likely reveal a different answer. We will reveal that different answer because God speaks to each of us in special ways. But there's one answer that will encompass all Christians. God gave us the Bible for encouragement. God said, I want to encourage you. Have you ever read the Old Testament and the New? Have you ever seen so much blood? There's no book ever been printed that is more bloody than the Bible. There's no book anywhere that you will ever find to see hatred and sex and all kinds of evil. More than you've ever even heard of. And then, of course, there's that debauchery. And our generation says, what's that? And I've listened to people talk about debauchery, and they say, oh, this is what it means, that's what it means. That, do it this way. That's bad. You got it? It's bad. Okay, as you look at the test, see where you find yourself in this. But listen to Romans 15, verse 4. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Why do I need encouragement? Because, folks, the times in which we live is called our lifetime, and life's tough. Have you noticed that? Life is tough. And for people who say, you know, ever since I've accepted Jesus, no problems at all. For one thing, well, they're lying. Because the closer you walk with Christ, the more hell's going to come after you. The more that you attempt to take a stand for what is truth, the more of evil that's going to come after you. So life itself is tough. And God says, I want to train you. Train me for what? Eternity. Listen, Christian, would you get out of your head that this is all there is? Listen, lost person, would you get out of your head that this is all there is? What you're doing and living in this world today is only, and it's not even the beginning, it's the testing phase for you and for me. You and I are being tested in preparation for eternity. You have to put on the spirit of eternity living. You got to get out of this thought of this is all there is, there ain't no more. Well, if this is all there is, there ain't no more, go eat, drink, be merry. Do anything you want to do. If there is no God and you have decided in your heart there is no God, I understand why you raise all the hell. Because it is hell living in you. But let's look at what God has planned for us in the future. I've listened to folk whose hearts are broken because of loved ones lost. I remember crying as a child, at 6 years old, when my mother let us know that my daddy was dead. I remember over the years of being broken over the loss of loved ones and the loss of individuals who really were history makers in my life. And I could see in every one of those history makers failure. I could see in every one of those history makers faults, flaws. And now, after studying the Word of God, I can see every one of those history makers in my life making a difference in my life. It's not just about here, folks. As a matter of fact, this time here is just a twinkle. That's not even a blink. It's just a twinkle of an eye. And we're out of here. And I know some people get all upset with me because I get so excited over stepping through that door into eternity. And then I had to wrestle inside myself to realize that, come on, Vance, what's the matter with your head? Don't you understand that I'm already in eternity? That life here on earth is a part of my eternity living? Did you ever stop to think that the only reason that we are here is for training that God is giving us? A boot camp tougher than any boot camp you've ever been through? It is life, reality living. And God says, here's what I want to do. I want to prepare you for eternity. So get out of your mind that as soon as I'm dead, it's over. Well, even for the lost person, it ain't over. But you and I understand something, or we should. This is our character building phase right here on earth. Now, life is a serious test, right? Life is a serious test. God watches us. How do we deal with separation? How do we deal with the failure of a society? How do we focus our heart on the history makers? You focus your heart on history makers, folks. Each of us will do this, realizing that I am a history maker. You are a history maker. It might be a history maker only to my son and to my grandson, but that's important enough to me. Making history God's way. Isn't that a blessing? And the blessing really is missed so many times because we don't recognize problems of life as being a blessing. Here's the good news about these tests. Now, a lot of times the tests are major or minor tests. They're brief or they're long. Here's the good news. Every one of the tests you go through in life is there for a purpose. And God has chosen you to receive that special test. He's chosen me to receive a special test. And that test is designed to help us grow. Grow in what? Grow in faith. Grow in our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. James 1, verses 2 through 4. Dear brothers and sisters, whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy. For when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be strong in character and ready for anything. God always tests those he intends to use. So get excited. How am I going to get excited, preacher? All hell's come against me. Because all hell does not go against lost people. That's proof. Satan just don't like you. Listen, as a Christian, every day when we get up, Satan ought to get angry. He or she, they're up again. Go get them. Go get them. They're going to lead somebody to Jesus. Do something with them. It's great that you make Satan mad. But in the process of making him mad, you better make sure that you have the faith in Jesus Christ or you're going to get in way over your head. Here's what God does. He always tests those he intends to use. And each person, this is what you'll see. You'll see an opportunity that God gives us, a promise. Doesn't matter what's going on, that's an opportunity. You'll see an obstacle or you'll see an opponent that's going to go against you. You will see an ordeal waiting for a period or test. Number one, let's look at Noah. God had created a perfect world, but man had messed everything up. You agree with that? Yeah. God did it right. Sadly, we in every generation can look back at history and find out that in this case, God looked over the face of the earth. He said, there's only one man righteous. His name is Noah. And so God decided, I will start all over again with this one man, Noah. Well, how could God do that? He did it at the beginning, remember? God allowed his heart to be a part of our existence. God says, I love you. I love my creation. So listen to the test. Noah, I want you to build an ark. Test number one. God may test your faith with an impossible task. Listen to Hebrews 11:7. It was by faith that Noah built an ark to save his family from the flood, who warned him about something that had never happened before. Build an ark, Noah. What's an ark? An ark is something you're going to float around in when the rain comes. What's rain? That's the stuff that before Noah's time, of course, God watered the earth from below. Just perfect. Now, for the first time, rain is coming into existence. You know, that's real interesting with Noah because Noah didn't have a model. Well, where are the instructions for me to do that? Don't worry, Noah. I'll give you those instructions. I knew that Noah was Baptist. It took him 120 years to understand the instruction as he built the ark. So he builds the ark with no model to follow. Faith is believing when you don't see it. Faith is believing when you don't see it. Do I know Jesus Christ exists? Sure. Have I ever personally looked at Jesus Christ directly? No. Well, have you seen God face to face? No, I know as anybody else. Jesus is the incarnation of God. How do you know? Because I see him in my heart. Spiritual heart. Hebrews 11 verse 1. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Lord, I have faith. Can you imagine the mocking that went on with Noah for 120 years? Can you imagine his family rebelling against him when he says, get in the boat? Oh, Noah, you might be a halfway decent father-in-law, but you're just nuts. I'm going to get in the boat with all of those animals. They got in the boat. Do you remember who shut the door? God. The scripture says, and God shut the door. Once the door was shut, nobody else could come in. Once the door was shut, Noah couldn't open it. God was in control. When we accept Christ, when we know that God exists, and when we represent Christ, we become history makers, and you need to understand you're in the boat. The door's shut. You're on the right side. Next, I want us to look at another history maker by the name of Abraham. Abraham came into being. He was living in the land of Iraq, doing real good, making a lot of money, very, very wealthy. He was 75 years old, right in his prime, ready to do whatever it took. And God said to him, Abraham, I want to make from you a great nation. Get ready to move. Well, Lord, you know, we could do it right here. I'm doing pretty good right here. Listen to it. Test number two. God may test your faith with a major change. Hebrews 11:8. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. Boy, we don't, do we? I remember used to get in a truck and just drive. We would drive and we'd stop and get crackers, a loaf of bread, a pickle dog, and a moon pie and RC Cola. And now there's no better eating than that was. And you drive around in circles in the country, and I always pretended I knew where I was and was so happy when I would come out on a road, whether it was Highway 61 or whatever it was, and I think, oh, thank you, Lord. Now I can keep pretending like I know which way to go on it. So God plants in our heart, and he lets us understand that in order for us to be history makers, we have to notice there's going to be a major change. Don't be afraid of the change, folks. Be more afraid not to step into that change. Test number three, God may test your faith with a delayed promise. God wants us to base our lives on promises, not explanations. Promises. Well, the explanation of that is, because I got it right up here. Well, if you got it up here, you got it wrong. It's a promise. I base my life on a promise. I cannot explain how it works. I cannot explain to anyone, you know, this is how God works. Because God's going to work in each one of us differently than he does the other. Because each one of us have a special job to complete throughout eternity. This is a training field. And God is watching. A delayed promise. Oh, we hate that. Because then we explain why God didn't heal somebody. People, I cannot tell you why God doesn't heal people. And I can't tell you when he is going to. But I love being there when it happens. Because every time God works a miracle, that's faith in action. Hebrews 11:9-10. And even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith. Now listen to this. God had told him, yeah, I'm going to build of you a great nation. And he's saying, where is it? But listen to this. For he was like a foreigner living in a tent. And so did Isaac and Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob all lived in tents. They did not personally witness the great nation. But it was in process. It was in process through the history makers. Those who would stand for the truth. And now you and I can look back and say, I don't understand it all why Isaac and Jacob didn't understand this. Good gracious, all that had to done, got the Bible turned, look. And so often that's the way we look at life in Scripture. To whom God gave the same promise. All of them lived in a tent. Abraham did this because he was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. Abraham said, I don't need to see it. I see it in my heart. I feel it in my spirit. I know Jesus. What does he look like? He looked like Jesus. Nobody. How are you going to compare who Jesus looks like? I haven't been to heaven and back. And all those that are reading Scripture that have gone there and back, none of them could discuss or had words for how it looked. Test number four with Abraham. God may test your faith with an unsolvable problem. Hebrews 11:11-12, it was by faith that Sarah, together with Abraham, was able to have a child, even though they were too old and Sarah was barren. Abraham believed that God would keep his promise, and so a whole nation came from this one man, Abraham, who was too old to have children. A nation with so many that, like the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore, there is no way to count them. You and I have the book. It's called the Bible. We read the story, and then the story comes to life within our spirit. It's a story about reality living, the true life story of historians who made a difference in society instead of just taking from society. There's a big difference in contributing and taking. God said, I want to give you something to do. What's that, Lord? I want you to contribute. What? I'll tell you when the time comes for the contribution. Live by faith. Test number five. God may test your faith with a senseless tragedy. These are all also in your bulletins. A senseless tragedy. Hebrews 11:17-18. It was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who had received God's promise, was ready to sacrifice his only son Isaac, even though God had promised him, Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted. What a lesson Abraham learned and Isaac learned. It was the wisdom from God that stayed the hand of Abraham. Abraham, it will not be Isaac that will be the sacrifice. It will be me, because one day, Abraham, you point to the coming Messiah, for I am the coming Messiah. The great I am's coming to earth, and the great I am's going to make a difference, and I will show you what history is all about. And Abraham believed. Think of it. God says, I'm coming. And Abraham was happy because Isaac is the son through whom his descendants would be counted. Now, how did Abraham have the faith to obey? Listen to Hebrews 11:19. Abraham reasoned. Now, listen to this, whether you've ever seen this or not. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. Catch that? Abraham had so much faith in God that he knew if he did what God told him to do, even to the taking of his son's life, that God was quite capable to raise him from the dead. That's faith. Faith is obeying, even when you don't understand. Here's our last one, Moses. Test number six. God may test your faith with prolonged pain. Hebrews 11:24-26. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Too many people aren't looking ahead. How many times in any boot camp, I remember in the Marine Corps, people were dropping out like flies during boot camp. What was that all about? It was training. If you can't take it here in America, how are you going to take it in the middle of a war? And all boot camps were the same. Push, push. Except for today. Everybody gets to wear a badge that they might drill instructor should not hurt their feelings. Can you imagine me being a drill instructor now in a Marine Corps boot camp at Parris Island? I can't either. Faith is persisting when you don't feel like it. Hebrews 11:27. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. You see, once you got your eyes on Jesus, once you have your eyes focused on the reward, all the things that you'll see around you are nothing. All the wealth of this world means nothing, because you see Jesus, you see eternity, you see heaven, and you focus. We need blinders like we used to use on the horses in plowing. Put the blinders on their eyes like this. That's so that they, like me and other preachers, wouldn't chase a rabbit. Think of it. God said, I will show you. Persist in your faith. We live among a whole culture, folks, and you and I know this, that are manipulated by moods. It's according to what I feel like. I don't want to go outside. I'd rather play a video games. I really don't. You know, it's just according to what mood I'm in. I might go to church tomorrow. It's according to how my mood is and how I feel, because it amounts to basing all their decisions on feelings. If it feels good, do it. If it doesn't feel good, don't do it. Faith is being persistent, refusing to give up, no matter what. God said, I'm creating in you a historian. You're going to be a history maker. Are you going to be a good history or bad history maker? What's going on in your life that your peripheral vision has caught and taken your mind off of the reward called heaven? Folks, if this is all there was, this world, I would tell you to go out and do anything you want. But I know it's not, because a Savior touched my heart and he called me to preach his word. He didn't say, Larry, I want you to like it, and I want you to really love everybody that I'm sending you to preach to. So how did he train me? Prison chaplain for all those years. Think of it this way. You, as a parent, or parents to be, are your children going to learn from the history, good history that you can teach? Or are you just going to give them to the world who does not love them? God loves you. He came down as his own son, Jesus, to prove his love. And he says, I got work for you to do later. Complete the boot camp called reality living here in this world. Then let's get started on what's next. What love that God has for us. It just doesn't get better than that, Brother Randy. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us so much. We ask your blessing and your special touch now on each heart, as each heart looks within and decides from their own look and examination whether or not they're making good history or bad. We ask, Father, for you to give each of us strength that we might live a life based on the faith in you, and that each of us, dear Lord God, may leave our children with the truth about eternity. And Father, that we have the truth about who you really are. Touch us now as we make commitments, a commitment to walk closer, or a commitment to walk to begin with. For without your Son within our heart, we shall never see that peace. And we know that. Help us to be the history makers that'll make you proud. For we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.